Got my finger on the trigger, but I don't know who to trust. When I look into your eyes, there's just devils in dust.
Veterans Day edition of Downtown 438. Rich Kimble and Brian Stackpole with you, and Bruce Pratt here for Sports Lit 101. And pleased to welcome to the program on the G&M Family Market telephone line, author David Davis. We talked about his book, Waterman, a couple of weeks ago. And David, thank you so much for making time for us this afternoon.
My pleasure, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a wonderful read, a fascinating story, and one that's so relevant to everything that's going on, and so much that we learned that we didn't know before about one of the most fascinating people I've ever read about.
Duke Kahanamoku, sort of a forgotten figure, unless you're a Southern California surfer dude, but one of the pioneering great athletes in American history, both as an Olympian and as a race pioneer.
Yeah, David, this is Bruce Pratt. That's one of the things I was hoping you could speak to better than I did the other week, that he is a pioneer in so many ways and broke so many barriers, and you don't really think of a Hawaiian as being the person to be breaking the color line. I remember the surfing championships from the early 60s, but I was born in 51, so I don't really remember much about his career. If you could sort of give people sort of an indication of all the kinds of things he accomplished, that'd be great.
How many hours do we have?
Well, I should have met the highlights of the things which he accomplished. Yes.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you setting it up like that, and I agree. It took me by surprise when I was doing the research. But for those who don't know him very well, Duke Kahanamoku emerged on the mainland in 1912 for the Olympics and qualified for the U.S. Olympic team in swimming. Won a gold medal and then a silver medal in Stockholm. And at that time was probably the most prominent athlete on the team on America besides Jim Thorpe. And we all know about Jim Thorpe, but Duke was a dark-skinned Pacific Islander. He was often mistaken for being African-American on the mainland. And at that time, not too many people had ever traveled to Hawaii. So he did encounter racism and prejudice when he was touring the mainland, when he was swimming and competing. Something I didn't know, I live out here in Los Angeles, and I didn't realize many of the public beaches, and I put quotes around that, public beaches were off limits to non-whites. And Duke Kahanamoku quietly integrated those. He went surfing, he swam. When he competed at private clubs like Los Angeles Athletic Club, Hollywood Athletic Club, those were completely, if not 100%, white clubs, and yet he integrated. And this is, you know, years before Joe Louis and Jesse Owens and Jackie Robinson. So in that sense, he was a pioneer, a groundbreaker.
And certainly for many Americans in the mainland, the most famous Pacific Islander, the most well-known, and probably the first exposure many white Americans had.
Absolutely. And he was, in a very interesting way, very much supported by Hawaii and the powers that be and the business interests. And when he would go to the mainland, he was financially supported in terms of those trips. These are the days of the amateur athlete. And in a sense, he was expected to promote Hawaii. That was sort of part of his charge. Besides winning races, he was sent out to promote Hawaii because he was such a great athlete, but also such a gracious, humble man, and who was endearing to people, you know, once they did meet him.
I think one of the other things I found fascinating was I knew that he had been an Olympic swimmer. I didn't know how great and how dominant a swimmer he was. But, you know, that he played water polo, that he liked to row, that he was obviously a phenomenal surfer. But I think when people think of surfing, they think of what we see on TV now with these light little boards. Could you talk a little bit about the kind of surfing Duke was doing?
Yeah, very, very different than today's. And you're right. Today's boards are, you know, made of foam, what they call foam, and they're light and very maneuverable. And, you know, you can do all sorts of tricks and riding the wave and all sorts of manner. It's just use your imagination and go to YouTube and see these phenomenal tricks. In Duke's day, these boards were basically wooden planks, 12 feet long, 14 feet long, weighing upwards of 100, 125 pounds, often, you know, solid koa wood or solid redwood. And you couldn't really do tricks. You basically walked on water, as they said, and just you paddled out, you caught the wave, and you came into shore, and you went back out. Duke Woods, his tricks were he would stand on his head coming into shore, or he would take a young lad or girl and put him or her on his shoulders and ride in that way. And it was very different. And in a sense, Duke, because he lived to 1968, he was born in 1890, he spanned sort of the history of modern surfing from when it started with these long wooden planks to the contests and the North Shore of and Southern California contests of the 60s.
Well, and had such a remarkable life even beyond the athletic career. He appeared in over a dozen movies. He was in law enforcement, was the sheriff of Honolulu for many years. It's just an incredible story.
Yeah, it really is. And I think maybe it's because, you know, Hawaii is sort of so far away and sort of so exotic. No one's ever really sort of unearthed this and taken the time to unravel this long, very complicated, tangled life. And it was an honor to spend time with this man.
When you go to Hawaii today and you describe the statues and the other sort of homages to him, do the young Hawaiians today have the same appreciation maybe the Hawaiians in the 60s had as to just what a huge figure he is?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I mean, he's sort of their Babe Ruth, their Jack Dempsey, and that's, for the most part, a positive thing. I think there is some there's some feeling among maybe younger Hawaiians that Duke is maybe held up in too high a light, too much, you know, he did no wrong type of thing. And so there is a little tension in that regard. And frankly, I think there's a little tension in the sense that many feel that the business interests and the promotional interests maybe usurped him a little bit. And in a sense, used his fame, his persona, to advance their causes, and so there is a little tension in that. But overall, certainly he's considered, you know, the number one sports hero to come out of Hawaii.
Well, I have to tell you, David, I was not a surfing fan by any stretch, but I'm a big fan of Duke's after reading the book. It was a fascinating story, a book I couldn't put down, and we appreciate you so much making time for us this afternoon and wish you continued success.
Oh, thank you so much for the time, Rich and Bruce. My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll see you again when you get – let us know about the next book.
Very good. Will do. And again, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. David Davis, author of Waterman. Just a terrific read. And happy to have him here. Sports Lit 101 and Downtown Sports.